Well, some of you that live within the city of Ashland may have already received the newsletter that was mailed out on Friday. And if you did, you perhaps have had the opportunity to read the article that I wrote that speaks to a question of worship. What is worship? And Session's desire to engage that question. And so I've responded to that request from our session with the plans to speak on various topics related to worship throughout the summer. And I didn't necessarily intend to start here, but at the beginning of the week really felt led to do a sermon on the Sabbath, which is what we will be looking at this morning. But about midweek, I realized that this wasn't going to be a one-week sermon. This was going to be at least two and maybe even three or four weeks on the topic of the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath and worship are not the same thing, but a part of what we do in engaging Sabbath is gather and worship. And so an understanding of the biblical concept of Sabbath can help frame a broad discussion around the context of worship. Now, this morning, what we're going to be talking more about in regards to the Sabbath is just the tendency that people have to kind of sway to one side or the other in relation to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is needed. It's needed for us to understand. But there's kind of two approaches often with the Sabbath. One is that we kind of develop this religion around it, a list of rules and do's and don'ts. These are things that we are to do on the Sabbath or things that we're not to do on the Sabbath, and the Sabbath becomes for many just a religious practice of living into that list. But then on the other side is this tendency to be like, well, the Sabbath is a great day for me to do whatever I want to do. I've earned it this week by working, and so whatever I need to do to kind of get ready for the next week today, I'm going to do it. And what I would say is that there's error in each of those approaches. And so today, we're going to try to recover some of the purpose of the Sabbath, why God created the Sabbath for us and invites us into it. And then over the next couple weeks, we're going to speak less about the why and the what and more about the how can we as individuals and in a congregation begin to live a little bit more faithfully and fully into a practice of Sabbath in our own individual lives. And so we're going to turn to two scriptures this morning, and we'll look at a couple others throughout the sermon as well. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3, and then Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Those will be our readings for this morning. As we prepare to hear God's word, I do invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Father God, even now as we gather and we begin to consider what your word teaches us, what you teach us about this invitation into Sabbath rest that you created for us, that you desire for us, that you offer us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you well up within us in such a way that we can enter into a spirit of resting in you. Perhaps our minds are already drawn to how we may be spending our day beyond these walls. Perhaps we come with a list of distractions, things that we know need our attention, needs and desires that we have to fill our day. And so I pray, Lord, as we begin to open our hearts to hear your word, that we will just come into a place of resting in you in this present moment, that any of those distractions will be placed into your hands, that we will be able to place our eyes on you, Jesus, who is the author and sustainer of our faith. We desire to hear your word, Lord. Speak to our hearts, we ask in your name. Amen. From Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And now from Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 8 through 11. You would recognize this as one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Sabbath is an invitation from the Lord. It's God ordained, this seventh day of rest. It's part of the original plan, and it's as original as it gets from the very beginning. It's an invitation from God to us into something, into an experience, into a reality. It's a gift to us from God that we are meant to receive, meant to open, meant to give thanks to God for, meant to enjoy. It says that the Lord God blessed the Sabbath. In other words, said this is a good thing. God created it. God's desire is to live it and for us to live into it as well. God tells us in Scripture that God himself rests, enjoys the Sabbath day, models this lifestyle for us, and that God's presence is in this Sabbath rest. And so living into the Sabbath is living into God's blessing upon our lives. Now, many of us seek to know, how can we receive God's blessing? And we look for scriptures to say, are there things that we can do or ways that we can live where we will live under the Lord's blessing upon our lives? Perhaps the most clear in Scripture is this, that the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and given it to us, and that as we live in the Sabbath, we live in God's blessings. And so the Sabbath day is blessed, and it is set apart. It is made holy by God. Now, this word holy is one of the most distinguished words in Scripture. It represents the mystery and the majesty of the divine. To enter into the presence of the holy leaves us kind of in this place of awe, thinking about reverence and majesty. And yet the first thing that God declares holy in our scriptures is time. Specifically, a time set apart. Set apart for rest, for God, and for us. To be made holy is to be made sanctified. So as we talk about our own personal holiness, we refer to that as a personal sanctification. Well, the Sabbath day is a day, is a period of time that God has ordained and blessed and sanctified, set apart, made holy. Abraham Heschel, in his classic work, Sabbath, says that sanctification is dependent upon human behavior and attitude. Sanctifying the Sabbath is part of our imitation of God, but it also becomes a way to find God's presence. In other words, it's one of the ways that we can be like God, to set apart time as Sabbath rest. And it becomes a way that we can enter into God's presence, who also abides in Sabbath rest. And so the love of the Sabbath is the love of what mankind has in common with God, that we, like God, can enter into a time of rest, can enjoy a Sabbath rest. Now, this idea of rest, this is the purpose and the intention of the Sabbath, is one that is rest to the mind, it's rest to the body, to the soul, to the spirit. We might think of the Hebrew word shalom, this blessedness, this peace, this deep peace that we can experience. The Lord sets aside this time to invite us into a place where we can reconnect on a regular weekly basis with the God who brings us this peace. It's a time for mending. a time for healing, for restoring and refreshing, a time to experience tranquility and serenity and peace. Another book that I would encourage any of you that really want to dive into this topic is a book written by Marva Dawn, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, Wholly, Keeping the Sabbath Holy. She says, deep in our beings, there is a longing for completion, this wholeness, this sense of shalom. And there's all sorts of temptations in our culture that compete to satisfy that yearning. Yet only holy time in which we experience the presence of God can truly fill this emptiness. And so this Sabbath that God has created, Sabbath that God has blessed, that has made holy, that is set apart, that has given us for rest, is here as an invitation to us. And yet, what a struggle it is for us to respond. This is not how most of us are wired. To work for 6 days and then to set aside an entire day for rest. And so Walter Brueggemann, in his book, Sabbath is Resistance, does some work that is interesting to me and I think helps us talk a little bit about this struggle and why this struggle is real. And so I want to share a few thoughts about this struggle, drawing from his work. That Yahweh rests, that God himself establishes a Sabbath and rests, sets God apart from any of the other gods in the world. Gods who strive for their people to have an endless production and an endless produce. And so when we think about this teaching of the Sabbath coming from Yahweh, our God, the God of Israel, we must think about it in the context of the Egyptian gods and the Pharaoh. A Pharaoh who was in many ways a production manager. And as we know the story, we know that the Israelites became slaves to a Pharaoh who drove them on and on and on for more and more work, took away their pleasures, took away their time, demanded more and more production to grow more produce, which would lead them to grow more storehouses. And to build more storehouses, they would need more bricks. And so they were set to producing more and more bricks. But of course, as you have more and more storehouses, you have more and more room for produce. And so this endless cycle that comes from this place of there never being enough. And so Pharaoh, serving the gods of the Egyptians, was a production manager who never had enough, who wouldn't believe in rest, who wanted more and more work from his people. And then enter the Hebrew God into our narrative, into this narrative, who comes as a deliverer of the people out of Egypt, who removes them from that ideology, who comes and declares that Yahweh is not a workaholic, that Yahweh is not anxious about the full function of creation, that Yahweh has a deep trust that there is enough already provided by creation and by us and for us in 6 days of work. And Yahweh God brings to the people a rest. Rest that would not be experienced under the lordship of any other leader or any other god. And Yahweh proves that he would provide for that rest. Even in their desert wanderings on the sixth day when they would go out to collect the mammon, there would be twice as much so that they would not have to go out and work on the Sabbath day. For God would have already met their provision. This speaks to, I believe, in a parallel way, our own market ideology. A world that we live in now that is 24/7 when it comes to multitasking and work. My phone's in my office. It's sort of connected to my watch. On my wrist, I could probably accomplish more work than what many people could even 10, 15, 20 years ago sitting at their computer. Our desire to achieve, to accomplish, to perform, or be left behind is built into our cultural values and ideologies. It's built on a consumption, on a need and a desire to want more, to have more, to own more, and in very similar ways, we echo the Egyptians who would say that we never have enough. And yet Yahweh would say to us, come, experience my Sabbath rest. Perhaps this is why Jesus warns us that it's hard to serve both God and money. That the way of wealth and capital, from an ideological standpoint, is a way of commodity. It is driven by an endless desire, which needs an endless productivity, which leads to an endless restlessness for those of us who live and work and strive within that ideology. Perhaps this is part of the heavy yoke that Jesus tells us that we're bearing, the heavy burden that so many of us carry. And yet there is Jesus there saying, as Yahweh says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, we serve a God of rest. We serve a God who not just invites us to rest, but has a desire for us to rest. And so to speak of Sabbath as resistance is to speak to a frame of mind based on the kingdom of God that pushes back against the ideologies, pushes back against the world, pushes back against this needless and endless desire for more that says to us, there's never enough. Said again in the Exodus narrative, Yahweh is a God who emancipates from this type of slavery, delivers us from this relentless work system, rests, and invites us to do the same. And so I want to allow that to be a foundation, and then I want to look at what Jesus teaches quickly about the Sabbath. You see, Jesus himself was criticized for some of the things that he did and allowed his disciples to do on the Sabbath. Criticized for healing, criticized for allowing the disciples to pick grain and to eat of it. And so we know this teaching of Jesus that says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so what we often do is we'll look at Jesus' teaching and we'll say, see, Jesus was telling them they were wrong about the Sabbath. He was reframing it for them and saying, actually, the Sabbath was made for man. And then what we can quickly do is say, so that means we can do whatever we want on the Sabbath. This was created for us. It was given to us. It's for us to decide how we spend our time. And yet in no way was Jesus coming to tell us we have free reign. Christ was reorienting the people of that time to the purpose of the Sabbath, helping them to understand that it was about love, it was about healing, it was about meeting needs, it was about being together as a community. It wasn't about the restrictions in the religion that had become. It had simply lost its purpose. But in no way is Christ dismissing the original purpose. And I believe even more so that Christ is reiterating the need for healing in the Sabbath. You see, seven times Christ performed a miraculous healing on the Sabbath. And I believe that Christ was teaching us again that there's a part of this Sabbath rest that is meant to bring healing to God's people. Again, I would say healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing of the soul, healing of the spirit. To remind ourselves once a week that God is enough, that I have enough in the Lord, and that I am enough in the Lord. You see, our own brokenness can often become a barrier to our own capacity to rest. Our own brokenness and our own belief that we are not enough in and of ourselves in the eyes of the Lord can push us to a place that makes it very difficult for us to rest. We must earn love, perhaps even God's love. We must prove that we have value to God, to others, and to the world. And so out of this own brokenness within us, we push and push and push. And yet, much like the contemplative life, Sabbath is an opportunity to just sit and dwell and rest. Reminding ourselves that in Jesus Christ, we are enough. We have all of God's love that we could ever need or imagine. that God will provide our every need, and that we can sit and without doing a darn thing, be just as loved by God as if we were out saving the world. As I mentioned, the next couple weeks, we'll talk about some of the ways that we might can live into the Sabbath in our own practices and in our own lives. But this morning, the thing that I would really like you to begin to consider is how might I be able to start establishing a rhythm of Sabbath in my life? Because what I'm not sure Scripture teaches us is that it has to look this way every week, every day, this period of time for every person. What I do believe Scripture teaches us is there's a rhythm that God invites us to live that brings us into the rest of God and brings God's desire for us to rest into our own lives. I want to read one more passage from Exodus 31. I'm reading verses 12 through 17. The Lord said to Moses, "You yourself are to speak to the Israelites. You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Given in order that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you, so set you apart." So the first thing that God sanctifies in Scripture is the Sabbath as a period of time. The second thing is actually humanity, humans, people. "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the Israelites shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, this is one of those passages that kind of causes us to stir a little bit. Here we have a leader hearing from the Lord that we're going to start killing people if they're not observing the Sabbath, and if we see them working, we're cutting them off. And these are challenging passages and verses in Scripture. But I would suggest to you that we can look at it from the other perspective, that within these verses, we see God's desire for us within the Sabbath. Because the opposite of death is what? Life. And so is this Scripture not teaching us that in the Sabbath rest is life? It moves us towards life and the quality of life and the fullness of life that Jesus comes to offer, for which we are created and called. The opposite of being cut off is to what? Be among the community. The Sabbath provides an opportunity for us to be a part of community. Not just as we gather here together in formal worship, but as we move together as a community to live a Sabbath lifestyle. And trust me, if any of us desire to live a Sabbath lifestyle, we will need community reinforcement. Because the world will not tell us, "Oh yeah, you should be resting. Don't you think you've been working a little bit much this week? Why don't you take today off?" Those aren't messages we're hearing from the world. Those aren't messages we're hearing from our coworkers or our bosses. Those aren't messages we're giving those who may be working for us. And so we need community. We need one another to live a lifestyle of Sabbath rest, to remind one another, this is holy, this is blessed by God, this is set apart for God, for you, for me. And so the Sabbath is an invitation into life, it's an invitation into community, and it's an invitation into relationship with our covenant God. I like that phrase, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations is a perpetual covenant. God's covenant, "I will be your God and you will be my people." A covenant meant to be perpetual throughout the generations. And the Sabbath is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves of this covenant and to live into this relationship with God. How might we begin to establish the type of rhythm in our lives where we can incorporate God's Sabbath rest in such a way that it moves us towards life, towards community, into a deeper relationship with our covenant God? Again, Marva Dawn says that there's a rhythm of 6 work days and a seventh day of rest that's written into the very core of our beings because who we are is a part of God's creation. Created with the image of God himself within us, who also worked for 6 days, whatever that may mean, and then rested a seventh. Entered into a period of rest. And I love in verse 17 where it says, what we just read, and God was refreshed. Who here desires to be refreshed? There's a lifestyle that God has ordained and created for us, invited us into, that will help move us to life, community, relationship, and will help us experience a refreshment. I don't know how many of you start your Monday mornings feeling refreshed and renewed and restored, but the way people most talk of Mondays, it's kind of the opposite. I'm beginning my work week exhausted. And that's not God's desire for us. Now, this is going to look differently for all of us. That's why I'm speaking more of a rhythm. And we're going to need to do our own work of sitting with the Lord and praying about our schedules and our needs and how we meet the needs of the community. The reality of it is that there are people out there working on our behalf today to meet our needs. Now, that need may not be a Big Mac. I mean, we may have to kind of think about that. But that need does speak to safety. It does speak to the farmers that get a dry day and have to be in the fields. It does speak to the nurses and doctors that are caring for us, okay? So there, I mean, this isn't meant to be this rigid, it has to look this way. But what it does mean is that there's a rhythm of life that God offers us that's written into the very fiber of Scripture and who we are, that God created and ordained from the beginning of all time, that God continues to invite us into, to experience the restfulness of God. In the coming weeks, we'll look a little bit more at how that might look in our lives. Today, I again leave you with this question. How can I begin to incorporate into my life a rhythm that allows for Sabbath rest? How can I begin to incorporate into my life a rhythm that allows for Sabbath rest? I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, even now, your invitation that you bring to us to be still and know that you are God is just ringing through my mind and my heart. This invitation for us to sit, to breathe deeply your Spirit, to experience the rest in the loving presence that you bring to us in the Sabbath. Lord, it's countercultural. It's counterintuitive. For many of us, it goes against kind of our own natural tendencies. And yet you, all-powerful, all-knowing God, creator of all things, has created for us opportunities to sit and simply be. Be in your presence, be in your love, be within your healing touch so that we can experience renewal and refreshing and restoration of our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you this morning give us a desire for that. It sounds crazy that we should have to ask for a desire for rest, but I think that that's where many of us are, Lord. And so Holy Spirit, come and bring to us a desire to want to simply rest and be in your presence, trusting in your provision, trusting in your care, trusting our lives to you, Lord, and all that we are, all that we have, and certainly, Lord, all that we need. Lord, for those who carry heavy burdens in this morning, be those practical or physical, mentally or emotionally, for those who are concerned for themselves or others because of the trials and struggles of this life, Lord, we lift all of these things up to you and into your care. And Lord, above all things, may your loving presence be known in the midst of the struggle. Lord, do your work within us. Meet us with your love. Strengthen and encourage us, Lord. May each of us be reminded that nothing can separate us from your love, the love that we have for you in Jesus Christ. Continue to meet us in this place, we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.